Can go ahead.
Sure. Hi, everyone. I think we like to start out with roll call. So my name is Manuel Vasquez. I am the co-chair of Council Affairs. I'll pass it to Mark Molnar.
Mark Molnar, council staff. I'll pass it to Kat.
Kat Podge-Gear, council staff. I will pass it to Kira.
Kira, council staff, and I'll go ahead and pass it to Chuck.
Did you say me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah. Chuck Adams, council member. And
Then I think I'm the last person to go. So it's TJ Limiaki, council member. No, sorry. Oh, Bill. Sorry.
there's a few more. Bill Bloom, HIV Health Services. I'll pass it to Matt.
Matt Gelbaker, council member.
Was that it, Maria? Did you go?
No, not yet.
Okay, Maria.
No problem. Maria Lacayo, HIV Health Services.
Okay, I think that's everyone. Great. Well, thank you, everyone. Welcome. Kira, if we could pull up the minutes from last meeting
Agenda.
or agenda. Sorry. Here's today's agenda, everyone. Any questions? Seeing as there's none. Okay, we'll switch to minutes. Okay, minutes are in front of you. Any corrections? Please let us know. Okay, no corrections. Okay, great. I'm going to go back to the agenda. So announcements. Does anybody have any announcements? It looks like there was an announcement in the chat box from Mark. Council staff, council support team, please stay on for a few minutes post message, post meeting. Okay, great. Yeah.
Can I say something after just that the Ryan White conference is next week? I think everyone knows, but in case you wanted to sign up to as a virtual attendee, you can do that without, you can register for that so that you can attend some of the sessions virtually. And it's Tuesday through Friday next week.
And they did change it. So I think a couple of months ago, I shared it with the planning council, at which time you needed a grant number. You no longer need a grant number. Just go to the website and there isn't a limit to it. So it's about 60 pages of opportunities. So there's something in it for everyone. I'd recommend taking a look and see if there's something that interests you.
Great. Thank you. Any other announcements? Okay. Public comment? Any public comment?
You're doing a great job, Manuel.
Thank you, TJ. Okay, no public comment. Mark, do we know if getting to zero Susan Buckbinder is she pre okay.
So I'll be
You'll
much
be
like the
presenting?
last time,
Okay.
I'll be presenting. Let me share
Okay,
screen.
take your time, please. Just so you know, I mean, Bill Music was like, should I log in at 3:45? And I was like, well, depending on how long the Getting to Zero report is. So I can text him though if we need him to jump on earlier.
Okay. Well then let me ask. I was going to say this for the second to last agenda item, which is
Oh.
next meeting, but we might as well talk about this now since we want to create a little bit of time,
Sure.
which is the September meeting date. I actually will be off that week, and normally I just say, well, my team can definitely handle it without me, but next month is prioritization and allocation, and I really would like to be there to sort of, help move that process along. So I'm wondering if this group, let me open my calendar, would be okay with meeting the, let's see, the following week, the
30th mark of September instead of the
no,
3rd.
that so it's we're scheduled for the 10th, and I'll be out that week, so we
Okay.
could either meet the prior Tuesday and actually start off the allocation process because we would be the first committee, Or we can try to meet the week after. That's the same week as steering. It might be a little tricky. So let's start with looking at the 3rd. Would September 3rd work for folks at the same time?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes. How about you, Matt? How about you, Chuck?
Say that date again.
September 3rd, same time.
I look okay right now.
Okay.
But I'm sure some tragedy will happen between now and then.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's life. Life is tragedy. Okay, so we'll start with this group then to look at the various scenarios for reduced, flattened, decreased funding. We'll bring obviously last year's start as the base for the conversation. Excellent. Thank you all. And Kira, you and me can talk about what that might mean for membership too. I know that there's already been a room reservation, but let's just wait till after this meeting to discuss. All right. Thanks,
Mark, just a quick question. Are you going to reach out to John to have that prepped, or would you like Maria or I to do that?
We don't need that prepped for the traveling motions. The traveling motions are basically just the motions. It would be great if we can get it by steering, and absolutely need it by the full council meeting. So, yeah, thank you, though, for that reminder. I'll reach out to him so he can have hopefully plenty of time. But I also don't want him to do a lot of work until we at least get one motion on the floor. And so that'll be with this committee. And then you can sort of proceed to look at what the, I mean, it might be changed to other committees, but at least that'll be like a helpful starting point. All right. Let me share screen. And Susan Buckbinder, right?
Binder.
Said that this is a longer presentation of 26 slides, and she's absolutely willing to cut as needed. Just let me know, and I'll let her know. Okay, so let me share screen. So this is an update presentation on the work of getting to zero, its various initiatives, etc. This is the first time I'm seeing it as well, so I'm not particularly prepared to explain what these slides mean. So our second slide here is an overview of the consortium and how it's seen as a collective impact initiative. Busy slide, lots of information, but I think pretty straightforward. Moving on, slide 2, engagement and impact. Talks about the 20 consortium meetings, talks about special format, forums on emergent topics, gives a list of different outreach and education happening within the community. And then it has a very long list of all of the regional international collaboration and information sharing that's happening, including Finland. The world's happiest country, in case you guys didn't know that. All right, a little snapshot of Getting to Zero's website. Well, I feel kind of ignorant. What does the word apritude mean?
Oh, it's a brand name for long-acting injectable.
Oh, that's why it's vaguely familiar, but not too
familiar. It's a similar or same formulation, but they use different ones if it's for treatment versus prevention.
Okay. Oops, I went backwards. Sorry. All right, we have a snapshot of HIV diagnoses, deaths, and prevalence 2006 to 2022. A version of a slide that we often get from Happy. All right, another familiar looking slide as far as what we get from Epi. This one is rates by gender and race/ethnicity.
And is that their source, the Epi report? Does it say?
No, it does not say. I'm not seeing any notes here. It might say since I'm looking at the PDF version, it might say in their PowerPoint version. Mm-hmm. What we see from Epi is not this. They actually drill down further, so we'll get a gender slide, and then we'll get a race slide.
So, Mark, at least in HIV health services, the slides could come detached from the presenters. We usually put the data source as well as the data poll. So if you want to be, you guys could decide if you want to ask her for that as well. That's why Marita's surfacing it.
Okay, I can definitely let her know that. Oh, speaking of Epi. Diagnoses of infection deaths by year. Look at that huge drop for diagnosis. All right, moving along. Continuum of care among persons newly diagnosed. Which is an amusing slide, apparently.
No, but Matt is advancing his retirement date with a few comments in the chat there.
Oh, I'm not seeing the chat. I was like, that doesn't seem like the most amusing slide, but I guess people find humor in different places.
I have to laugh.
It just has to laugh. Okay. This is a slide about homelessness. Oh, this does not, as some slides around unhoused slash homeless folks include, this one does not include SROs, couch surfing, or institutional settings.
So, Mark, this would be an example. I'm guessing they are pulling from Epi data, which is different what the planning council sees, because it's for the whole city. So that would be, to Maria's point, a good reason to put the data in so that the planning council understands the data is going to look different. Because this is the whole city, and county of San Francisco.
Yeah. Okay. Disparities in viral suppression amongst various subpopulations. PEH. Someone tell me what that acronym stands for.
People experiencing homelessness.
Oh, wow. These acronyms and terminologies just seem to change by the month. Let's see what we're doing. So, yeah. So people experiencing homelessness, clearly the biggest challenge. Should be no surprise. All right. Okay. Now we get maybe to the, not quite the heart of it yet. This is a rationale and background for new structure. New structure in service provision, I assume, or a new structure for getting to zero. Let's see if that explains which one.
It's interesting because this kind of came up to me too, like, you know, the first bullet, getting to zero, but we have not reached our target goals. And it was, I think, by 2025, right? They were supposed to get to like zero infections. And I'm wondering if they could spell out what goals they did not achieve yet.
Oh, that's a really good one. Actually, just put that in the chat to remind myself which goals were not attained, have not been attained yet. Okay. Attained. Or actually, maybe it's easier to say which ones have been attained.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, it's the same thing with HIV housing plan, y'all will see, but we're kind of framing it as this is what we've achieved, you know, the successes. And it would be interesting because, yeah, I keep thinking of getting to zero and I'm like, it's almost 2025. Did they reach all their goals? So it'd be good to know.
Yeah, it'd be nice to know if they reach any goals. And certainly no critique to these efforts because sometimes goals are never reachable. But it would be nice to know if, like, if there have been some wins for sure, or even just some getting there type benchmarks. Okay, anything else here that we should look at? Engage with community organizations. Okay. This doesn't, I mean, honestly, this doesn't seem like a huge pivot. I feel like these are things that have all been a part of getting to zero. I wonder if that could be one of the questions, is how is this different? Because this is they're specifically saying this is a noose, a kind of a pivot. What page number is this? It's not telling me. Page 11. Okay, so maybe I'll add a question. What has changed in this pivot? Slide 11. All right, moving along. Okay, now we get our nice face slide. Committees and leadership. Aging and HIV. Okay, looks like they have some open positions. Moving along. Oh, there's my friend Jorge. Let's see. And friend of the council. All right, moving along. HIV, COVID, and Mpox is dormant. Okay. Overview of the PrEP committee.
Mark, you may want to ask her to spell out the acronyms of all the organizations just the first time, unless everyone here knows what EG, EBGTZ is.
Nope.
And SEC.
I'm going to guess East Bay getting to zero, Santa Clara getting
get
to zero.
Prize. You get the prize.
Yeah.
Spell out. Or...
And maybe we could check last year's presentation, because I feel like we always ask for the housing information that's not in ARIES, and then somebody has to go look for it.
I think we missed them last year, actually.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Right. Everyone have a chance to look at this rather busy slide? Moving on, then. And here is our snapshot of the rapid... / restart retention committee.
If anyone wants to give them a kudos, they developed materials on this, which became the national standard. Like, it's everyone's always, we go to meetings, people talk a lot about this group's work and what they publish. They have a kind of a how to establish a program, lots of sheets, lots of stuff. It's an interesting look on their website.
And that's a live link, so I actually just clicked on it. I don't think you all can see that, but okay. All right, moving on. Well, I should slow it down. I still have 25 minutes. I hope you text your colleague there, Manuel.
I did, and he said, I just said, I'm being told we'll be all early. Can you get on at 3:30? And he said, yes.
Okay.
So I think that's good enough time.
Here's a PEH committee. Focusing on long-acting injectables. That's great. Updating the resource guide. Advocacy. Ross Bay relationships. A lot of advocacy. The HIV and Aging Committee. I used to belong to that committee till I aged out. All right. Let's see. Training.
I'm part of this committee too.
Oh, look at that. Commonalities.
Yeah. But yeah, they had the director of DAWS join the last meeting too, which was good.
Yeah, when I was a part of this many years ago, it was a very big and very activated committee. And over the course of the year or two that I was involved, it definitely shrunk down. And it originally had a lot of community folks as well. I don't know if it still does. Actual senior long-term survivors. All right, moving on. Great, here's their areas of advocacy. Advancing HIV prevention and care among, oh, here's another updated term, Latin communities. Gosh.
Latine, Mark.
I don't even know if I'm going to bother trying to memorize the pronunciation. These seem to shift on a annual or monthly basis and seldom involve the actual input of the actual communities. Sorry, a little bit of editorializing there, but
and it looks like another word every time I see it. It's not a nice step, not a great word, but.
I mean, I do think it's less divisive than Latinx, which I've heard a lot of pushback on, for sure, from Latina community members. I don't think I've heard any pushback on this one yet. So that might have more staying power, I guess. All right. Moving on. Also an update on drug overdose prevention. Key issue. All right. Update on adolescent and young adult. And an update on a special project, Informed Free Choice in Infant Feeding. This is a new one. Although not a new issue by any means.
No, but the guidance is changing on it. And actually, to be politically correct, it should be chest feeding to include trans folks. But there's new guidance coming out. That's by what she's addressing.
Well, I mean, infant feeding itself does not... Oh, I see what you mean. Underneath there, you see breastfeed. That's a controversial one. It certainly has been pushback about the use of that word, chest feed. Quite strong pushback. Okay, moving on. New product initiative. Great, injectables. Well, I would love to know more about this.
Yeah.
So, you know, Andy is a major leader, and as is Thomas, for prevention and care and long-acting injectables at Cabenuva and the Rapivirine. There's some more acronyms there for you guys. So watch another demonstration, another presentation on that. They certainly can give it.
Yeah, I hope she spent some time on this as well, because this was a very this created, of course, a very robust conversation during our January meeting when we first went over this topic. All right, moving on. Oh, okay. All the major players. So no community health center. All right, moving on. Oh, very interesting slide. Okay. All right. I mean, let's do a check here. We're four slides from the end. I'm not sure I've seen anything that I feel like I could say, hey, cut this. It all sort of feeds into what, yeah, they eventually get to. Anyone else have any recommendations? Any slides stick out as like unnecessary so far? 21 slides in?
Mark, I'm going to need to step up. I don't, but something for you guys to think about, and just the planning council get we're getting to zero fits in and relates to other plans. And do you want a little bit of to know the history, because it was kind of the first out the gate, maybe even nationally. So for you guys to think about. Do you want to add, we'll have her add another slide on that. And with that, I will jump off and jump back on again.
Yeah, how do folks feel about that? Like a context setting slide? I mean, I'd love to think that everyone is familiar with getting to zero since the council has been certainly working with getting to zero. Hi, can someone please mute their... Thank you. But we do have new council members, so wouldn't hurt. All right, moving on. Oh, look, this is a gain. I was just asking about gains, and this is clearly a gain. ...51% lower for syphilis, 50% clap. Great, that's great. All right, moving on. Ooh, look at this busy slide. We have three former council co-chairs on this. You get a prize if you can name all three of them.
Mary Lawrence, Mike Shriver, and Chip.
Your prize is my unconditional regard. Positive regard and support.
As always.
Enhanced. Summary of next steps. Must dig deeper in addressing poor outcomes for communities of color and for people experiencing homelessness. Good. More safe injection sites. Yeah. I mean, there's been a cutback on that, right? All right. All pretty straightforward. Another thank you slide. Oh, they have Shanti's logo from 10 years ago. That's nice.
Maybe you should send her the updated one.
It's a classic 40 years, even though this year is our 50th year. All right. I'm going to stop share. Any recommendations? I obviously threw a bunch in the chat that I will be sharing. Not really a bunch, but there's the three that I threw in the chat, and then I will throw in Bill's as well, which is basically to provide context, whether in slide or you should also do it verbally. Any other recommendations? That seem pretty doable as far as those three written and that fourth one as far as feedback. All right, then I see that your colleague, Bill Music, has joined us.
Yes. Well, let me just jump in real quick. Hey, Bill, thanks for joining. Just to kind of be transparent, and Bill, just so you know, so the council affairs meeting, we always preview what's going to be on the full council's agenda. So it is really a dry run through. And as you kind of just saw with Mark, we get feedback, like we should add more of this, this and that. And then that way, by the time the planning council happens, which is 2 weeks away, then you'll have all the edits and stuff done. That being said, to the whole group, I just want to be transparent. I want to get people's thoughts. So when I initially jumped at the opportunity to have housing this month, we were a little hopeful that we would have the plan already kind of in a draft that was public available. And we're running into some delays, unfortunately, as any strategic planning process does. So Bill has prepared like an overview, and I really want him to speak on behalf of like what he's done, because he is the consultant we've hired to create the plan. Last plan, it was me. So I could explain it. And this time I really want to give him the floor. And I'm really interested to see what people's questions are. So with that being said, today we kind of like scrambled last minute, and I have a generic like over HIV housing overview that I could do. Mark, you know, what would your what do you think most people are wanting when they hear housing update, or what they're looking to get in terms of information?
You know, it's such a big topic. it's almost hard for me to say, you know, because I think almost anything would be interesting, whether like whether it's like the expression of the actual needs or actually a more of a training thing around like how people can actually access it, or even like a portrait of like a snapshot of new and upcoming initiatives. It really is like such an important topic. It's such a wide ranging that I don't really think I have any recommendations. And I mean, I might after I see the presentation, but housing is just, you know, not just of utter importance to the system of care because it connects with so many different other health outcomes, but it's just an important topic in general to the council. So,
okay.
I mean, sorry to be less, not so specific here, but
no, I mean, no worries.
It's almost like asking, like, what would you like to hear about primary care? It's just like, what do you want to share with us? It's so big.
Yeah, yeah. Thomas, your hand's raised.
I don't know if I can answer the question, but specifically, I feel like it's like how to engage with the issue. So I think I've heard presentations before, and I really can't raise up memories of like actionable steps or so I would say less is more personally for me in something that is very tangible to walk away with. So if that's possible, I know that's a high kind of thing, but it's so complex that I quickly get overwhelmed.
I see that, and that's why I wanted to ask, because I could go in depth. I mean, I think the feedback I got, and I guess it was about a year from now, a year ago, that I presented the HIV housing overview, right? And I did this big overview, and everyone, I got good feedback. People said they understood how to refer, you know, things like that. So those are like more tangible things I think people could walk away with. And I do recognize we have quite a few new members since last year. So maybe doing the just general overview would be helpful. And then people can ask questions. But understanding that, I kind of want to flip it and have Bill go first so that I can really see kind of like what questions will be asked, how long it's actually going to take him, because then I can fill in whatever time is left, you know, and I can kind of rearrange it. So if that's okay, I think I'm going to start with Bill. So Kat, it's the not the HIV housing overview present PowerPoint, but the other one that I sent. It should have the 5-year draft, and Bill, it's the same one that you sent me. So, so yeah, and it's not a lot of slides, but again, I'm really interested to see what people are going to ask, and he's the writer. So, you know, he can really only answer to it. I can always present on his behalf, but yeah. So why don't we start there? So Bill, yeah, why don't you just go ahead and present, and I'll go after.
Sure. Given that we don't have a draft to present, we did decide, you know, try to look at what could we present in terms of where we are at this point. So a lot of what's in this particular presentation is more about the process we've taken, where we stand right now in terms of the timeline, and a little bit of a teaser about what's going to be in the plan, but not really the detail of the plan. So if we go to the next slide, we had sort of 6 phases to the project. We began by getting input on the approach, and then got feedback on opportunities and unmet needs in terms of housing for people living with HIV and AIDS. Because we did that in a number of different forums, we then did a survey afterwards so that we could get prioritization across everyone who participated on things that came up across all of the forums, and then drafted a report. And we're now in the process of getting feedback on that report. And as soon as we can move through this process, we'll actually publish the report. Throughout the process, we've been working with some key staff from MOHCD and the HIV Housing Work Group to get feedback throughout the process. And we've coordinated with a comprehensive planning group that MOHCD has on the larger comprehensive plan that needs to be submitted to HUD. If we go to the next slide, I just talk a little bit more about each of these phases. in that first phase, when we got feedback on our approach, we had three virtual sessions with advocates and provider organizations, two consumer virtual sessions, and then five calls with various city departments that interface with MOHCD in terms of housing. And some of the key elements we got from this particular phase were to hold some of the client in-person meetings at provider sites, and but to do the provider meetings via Zoom, and to try to hold those client meetings before the rainy season began last winter. The areas that came up just in the approach phase were issues related to access to the housing process, the information available, the ease of access. Others fell into the housing stock category, either the features, quantity, or location of housing. Vouchers or subsidies, the actual amounts of those, or the quantity available. Then supports to keep people stable in housing or other supportive services. And then how to support independence, vocational training, and removing disincentives for work. If we go to the next slide, we talk about the second phase, which was holding four consumer in-person sessions, one consumer virtual session, and five advocacy provider organization virtual sessions to get specific feedback on opportunities for improving the provision of housing for people living with HIV and AIDS in San Francisco. And as I mentioned earlier, we did that in a number of different forums, but one of the things that we didn't get out of those forums is the ability to present all of the ideas to everyone who had participated and allow for some prioritization. So we tried to do that through a survey that took some of the key ideas that came out of this phase so that we could have everyone provide that feedback. The next phase is the one we're currently in. If we go to the next slide. And we're right now in the process of getting internal review at MOHCD. We do intend to share the draft report with the Planning Council, with the HIV Housing Workgroup, and all the participants who have participated in any of the other phases of the project. Once we get all that feedback, then we'd release a final version, hopefully sometime this fall. So that's the basic process. If we go to the next slide. This is pretty much just an outline of the table of contents for the draft report. Just an idea of what the five-year housing plan is intended to do. A little bit of context around factors that influence housing for people living with HIV and AIDS, and that includes demographics, homelessness, and the importance of housing. Then we talk about other city and county departments that are partnering to address some of the intersectional issues of housing, homelessness, senior services, et cetera. We talk about the funding streams and the fact that the funding streams have remained fairly static from the traditional sources, but some new streams have come on board. And one in particular is CalAIM, which does now include a number of supports that do address housing and are an opportunity, I think, to leverage to supplement the traditional funding that supported these programs. We go through a list of the accomplishments against the last five-year plan, and then talk about emerging needs and opportunities for improvement, and then some recommendations. So I know this is a little bit more of a teaser, and that there's a lot of stuff in under these bullets that would be great to talk about. But at this point, I think until MOHCD has given its blessing to share things more publicly, this is what we're able to share. And then last slide is just to ask if there are questions.
Great. Yeah, so thank you so much, Bill. As Bill kind of mentioned, this is an overview, but I do feel like he could expand on what he's currently working on. I mean, just so everyone's understood, you know, chain of command. So we have to have our executive director see the revisions we've already submitted. And that's just, you know, scheduling and everything. So Bill could speak to anything that he's written and probably expand on it if people have questions. So I'm going to leave it there and ask, what questions are remaining from this presentation? People's general thoughts, perceptions.
Can you go back 3 slides to that table of contents?
This one or the one at the very beginning?
No, this one. This one. Well, I mean, it'll just be interesting to see this. It seems strange to have questions or clarification on any of these particular topics, since it's more of a snapshot, right, of what's to.
Yeah, and I also I'm assuming that people may pipe in and say, well, this community's not called out or something. And I mean, we've already had one person say HIV and aging needs to be a section. It needs to be a called out section. So I was going to talk to Bill about that. But, you know, I'm wondering, just based off of this, what people's thoughts were.
I have a question that maybe I just missed.
Sure.
You should maybe explain who Integrity 3D is and what,
sure,
what their connection is to any of this.
Yeah. Bill, what I'm thinking is maybe an introduction slide at the very beginning that talks about your firm and sure. Just you.
Sure.
Okay. And just so everyone's aware, so Integrity 3D is a consulting firm. Bill Music is the president. He was selected through our competitive process to be the consultant that writes the HIV housing plan. He's also worked a lot in HIV and in multiple different fronts. Bill, I don't know if you want to add anything else.
Not unless people have questions. I think that's a good overview.
Okay, cool. Thomas and then TJ.
This looks great. I think just to what end would be a really helpful kind of something at the beginning. Like, our intent is to increase access for people living with HIV in the housing system or something along those lines. So just kind of a big, bigger picture kind of slide at the beginning might be really helpful for framing.
Thank you, Thomas. Yeah, Bill.
And Thomas, was that to what end is the 5-year plan or our presentation? Just want
to say both, actually, right? So I'd say the 5-year plan specifically, but I think the presentation is more to engage key stakeholders, which you all see the Planning Council as being.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people having a sense of the goal or the end of the tunnel of like increasing access would be inspiring. Somebody's looking at it and caring about it.
Yeah, Bill, what that reads to me is maybe we should call out the 5 or the goals. We do have those approved, like at least the goals. So maybe we should just have a slide where it talks about the goals, mm-hmm. Specifically early on. TJ?
I think you have a good idea, Manuel, about so we don't have people complaining that they're not mentioned. It's maybe just list the groups, the main groups dealing with HIV right now in the city to avoid that whole thing.
Okay, I can call out, we can summarize groups that'll be touched on, perhaps. I can do that, Bill. I can like come up with something.
Okay.
Mark, your hands raised?
Yes, so I am curious, I mean, obviously I'm not looking for an explanation of it here during this meeting, but you know, there are some very, very big topics here around like, you know, each bullet point, well, each of the big bullet points, I would indent those small bullet points over, honestly. But as far as the big bullet points go, stylistically, I'd indent those to the right. But whatever. For the big bullet points, these are all pretty big, except for one sticks out to me, which is the third bullet point, city and county of San Francisco partnerships addressing intersectionality, like other topics as far as like what, you know, what are the key factors, what are the funding streams. This one seems like potentially quite niche, and certainly intersectionality is like one of the hot words that has been in use like in the past 5 years, and I'm not sure if it's actually been used like correctly by all the different areas and places that I've seen it been used. So I'm just wondering if there that might require a little bit of explanation about what the goal in that section is, because since it is such like a loaded term and such a hot topic, and it seems like it's given as much relevance as the, you know, the other areas. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah. And I think in the report, what we do in that context section is really emphasize the fact that there's an intersection and a need between the housing for people who are experiencing homelessness, people who are aging, people who are disabled. And one of the themes that runs through the report is the need for greater collaboration across the city departments that do intersect in terms of the areas that now are more important in terms of looking at housing for people living with HIV and AIDS.
Yeah, you know, that actually was what I was worried about, because that is not the actual way that that terminology has been used. Like as far as like what the origins of that terminology is, this is actually something that I've tripped on a few times, because I've used the word intersectionality as a way of talking about like what are the different intersections, and how do we all collaborate, how do we move over here. But like when you're using the term intersectionality, you're literally speaking about someone like a particular individual or community who sits at the intersections of multiple identities. And so when I was looking at that section, I was saying, oh, is this going to be a section that's all about, say, gay, how about like low income Black women? Like that would be talking about intersectionality, but talking about the intersections of various challenges and talking about the need for de-siloing and collaboration and all that, that's actually not the term intersectionality, which was, you know, it's like an identity politics term, you know, created by Kimberly Crenshaw. And so I don't want us to go into a particular direction unless we are meaning to go into a particular direction. Does that make sense?
Yes. It does to me. And I want to suggest maybe we change the word from intersectionality to impediment. I don't know if that is framed better for you, Mark, of what we're trying to accomplish.
Maybe, or like even just saying intersections, addressing intersections. Yeah. Air or intersections, something like once you get to the actual phrase intersectionality, that becomes loaded, particularly anyone who just graduated in the past 10 years from college in California or in New York City. It literally is like a very big term speaking about very specific populations. And so I just don't want us to go there. I didn't feel like that's what the topic was going to be on. So maybe just intersections or something something other than the word intersectionality. Does that make sense?
We'll work on that rewording, but thanks, Mark. That's a good point.
It just seemed like, well, that's like you're going to step on a minefield there, potentially. I don't want you to.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, even just as we're talking about it, if we should add a slide for these specific bullets that are being called out. I mean, you know, overall, I think it's going to take Bill maybe 15 minutes at the most based on what he just presented. So I don't think it's a problem to add more slides to lengthen it, but yeah, I mean,
yeah, Manuel, I just need your feedback on how detailed do you feel like I can go before we've gotten
to the blessing. Yeah, I can come up with some wording for you, Bill, and then you're more welcome to frame it in the PowerPoint.
Okay.
I'm making notes. Other people's thoughts? Like, does this leave you with any other questions? We also, I mean, Bill, I don't know if you prepared any of the data slides to go over. I'm wondering if, since earlier TJ was mentioning we should, you know, call out the communities being served, the data will show that, but I'm wondering if I should maybe prepare a slide that's like, these are the communities, again, that are touched by our services, and then the data, you know. I think it would also help us to kill some time to do some overview of the data. I don't know. Bill, would you want me to do that, or you feel more comfortable me doing that since I did it?
Well, I think it depends on what we're talking about, because there's the data on the demographics of who's currently being served by MOHCD.
Mm-hmm.
And while I think that might be of interest, I don't know that it's that directly I think some of the other data that we use in the body of the report might be of more interest.
Okay.
You and I can work on, again, how much.
Yeah, we have 2 weeks.
We can provide.
Yeah. Matt, your hand's raised.
So I think this is in your presentation, Manuel, that because Kat sent out the two presentations. But I know that, so when Floor did the ARIES presentation, that's all around kind of who are the services and who's receiving services from Ryan White funding. I would suggest somehow doing that with HOPWA so that there's some continuity and consistency about how we view who in San Francisco is receiving these different funded services. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you. That's really helpful. I'm writing that down. So Bill, I'll probably create a slide around that. And it can just be highlighting the notes and the data. Like what's this, population that really emerges, this and that. I can do something around that. Okay. Other questions? These are really, really helpful, everyone. And again, we apologize. Just, when we jumped on volunteering, we thought it would be done, but this is really helpful. Any other comments?
A question. Is this the format that the slides will be presented during the meeting?
Yes.
Because the format is shifted in terms of however this is being presented. So we'll have
This is just compressed, but because it's like a preview. So we'll actually have the PowerPoint version of it.
Okay. Because the indentation and so on is different in the in the actual.
Oh. My bad.
No, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay, well, great. So that's it, Bill. I can jump in now with my presentation. Any other thoughts for Bill before you may jump off? Or you're welcome to stay too, Bill. It's up to you.
I'll stick on for your presentation.
Okay, cool. Okay, well, great. So let's pull that PowerPoint up then, if we could, Kat.
Do you want me to screen share it, Manuel?
Sure.
All right.
Awesome.
And this format's gonna look a little funky here, as well, but it's just because it's compressed.
Okay. So again, I think probably based on everyone's feedback just a while ago, and then that we know there's a lot of new members, I will just do an overview, and then people can kind of go from there. I think we'll fill the time that way. Okay, so again, hey everyone, Manuel Vasquez, I'm the HIV Housing Programs Manager with MOCD. I'm here to talk about HIV housing in San Francisco and give you all an overview of general programs offered, how to access those services, and also to gain an understanding of where we are in our progress. Next slide. So again, today's learning objectives is to learn what HOPWA is. Many people hear that term and it's used pretty flexibly. HOPWA is a funding stream, actually, that funds lots of different programs. So we're going to talk about that and how HIV services are funded. So we do, so MOCD is the direct grantee from HUD for our HOPWA funds. HOPWA stands for Housing Opportunity for People with HIV/AIDS. We also do have services provided through general funds. So we have one tenant-based subsidy program that is completely funded through local general funds and not HOPWA. So it's unrestricted in that respect. Also, just gain a basic understanding of our PLUS Housing program, which is pretty much a wait list for referral to services for HIV housing. We'll go over the two applications and how to do that. And we'll also talk about how applicants are selected for assistance. And we'll also learn how to make a referral to programs and their application processes with that. And we'll close out with any questions, because again, this is following Bill Music. Presentation. So we also want to be open to any questions you might have. Next slide. So this is just an overview of what HOPWA is. Again, a lot of people hear that term tossed around. So HOPWA was created in 1992 through the AIDS Housing Opportunity Act, and its intention was to promote decent, affordable housing, expanding the availability of and access to decent, affordable rental housing, and also to strengthen communities. So ending chronic homelessness, move homeless families and individuals to permanent housing, had better at permanent outcomes, and then also ensuring equal opportunity in housing, embracing high standards of ethics, management, and accountability, promoting participation of faith-based and community organizations. That's really the main focuses of HOPWA. Okay, next slide. This is just a listing of the programs that currently exist in San Francisco. So I don't honestly have to read through all of them, but we do provide the first three you'll see are tenant-based subsidy programs, and they kind of explain a little bit about them. I do just want to also mention that Mo City is the federal HUD HOPWA award grantee for the eligible metropolitan statistical area, which would include San Mateo. So they also do receive funding and provide services in the San Francisco IMSA. Next slide. You also will see there are RCFCIs. These are residential care facilities for chronically ill. There are also transitional residential care facilities for people who just need a little bit help around independent living and are transitioning from a residential setting. We also have a permanent supportive housing facility, Derek Silva at 20 Franklin Street. It's a 68-unit permanent supportive housing community with case management on site, linkage to services, and referrals. We also have a transitional housing program called Brandy Moore House, which is in the Western Addition, primarily serving people of color, and also offering 1 to 2 year stays where they receive case management services, housing navigation and support, and also vocational and educational support. And this is also administered through Rafiki Coalition. Next slide.
I think that's it.
Okay, great. And so I'll probably add a few more. But essentially, I can also go over the Plus Housing program. So as I mentioned, Plus Housing is a wait list where people will complete an application. Currently, there are over 900 people. The number used to be over 1,200. So we have seen a significant reduction. But essentially, people apply and they identify themselves as two types of households, either stably housed, where they only need a little bit more assistance financially every month to make rent. So that usually comes in the form of a tenant-based subsidy. Or we have transitionally housed individuals who apply. These are individuals who usually have to be out of their current housing at a certain date. So this could be people who are couch surfing. This could be people exiting some type of treatment program. They have a set date they have to be out. So their housing is not stable, right? So permanently housed are usually looking more for subsidies. They want a referral to the San Francisco AIDS Foundation for a subsidy or any subsidy programs that have room. And then our transitionally housed would be anyone that, again, does not have stable housing but would like to go into a subsidized unit. Usually the only service we can provide outside of referrals to services and resources is also a subsidized unit. So a unit where the subsidy stays in that unit. This is really helpful for a lot of people who are, for instance, coming out of incarceration, coming out of treatment programs, because they usually have very limited to no income. And so anyone that goes into these units will only pay 30% of their income. So if they have no income, they pay zero. These programs are also meant to be supportive. So a lot of these units are also in permanent supportive housing. Those are the two applicants. And so based on our website does show kind of how we select people for assistance. It's not first come, first serve. We are selecting people based on highest rent burden. And then for our unstably or transitionally housed applicants, they are selected for a unit through a lottery. That's really the way we were able to be fair and equitable. So we do a randomization and they're pulled for a lottery with the unit. And then again, I also answer any questions with the Plus Housing list about HOPWA, HIV housing in general, and I get questions from all over the state, the city, but also the nation. And so now I want to stop because that's a big, that's an overview of our services. And I want to see if there are any questions that will guide the rest of our conversation, especially since we just talked about the plan. Yes, Mark Molnar.
Unmuting. I really think housing waitlist should have a slide. You know, that's like just such a big thing for people. Sure. They want to know about it. They want to know. They definitely would love to hear those gains that you just described. I mean, it's still a huge number, obviously, but that's a gain. And so I think just having a slot, if there's any other information about the housing waitlist, how, like, if there's been any, like, you know, revisions, if there's any other things you want to share, that's like, you know, that's such a big thing for so many people impacted by housing, that I think it's just worthy of its own potential conversation. I mean, you might just slip by it, but I just think it's certainly worthy of its own slide.
Yeah, no, that's really helpful. Thank you, Matt.
So I'm showing my age. Is housing waitlist now managed through Mayor's Office of Housing?
Yes, I know it used to be managed through SFAF.
I knew it when it was. Yeah. So this is the part where I was referencing, Manuel, about the data on demographics of who's receiving those services, the HOPWA-funded services, just like we give Ryan White-funded services.
Sure. We have the data. I mean, I'm writing down right now to pull the data. So the way that the Plus Housing list is managed, it's all through me. It's manually done. Like, I have to pull the data, all the applicants from a server, and then I have to, you know, go through and organize all the data. So it's quite tedious. But on that note, I could pull different demographic information. And then
I didn't mean.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I wasn't talking about the wait list. I meant
the
people that are actually in the programs that are receiving the services.
Okay. Yeah. We actually do have demographic slides for that. So I will just kind of combine them, but we do have that information. That's going to be in the appendices of the HIV housing plan, but I can pull that data and that would be helpful. Thank you. Bill, your hand's raised.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think we could take the appendices from the report and include them here. And I think the question I have is, do people feel like it would be better for this report to go first before we talk about the five-year plan? Or should we do it the other way around?
Okay.
I'm thinking that this sort of creates a foundation for talking about the five-year plan, but, you know, we can go either way.
Okay. Yeah, I'm seeing people shake their head. And if anything, then I can roll into, this is what we've achieved, and then here's our future. Bill Music. Yeah, okay. Great. Maria, your hand's raised.
I just had a question if you talk about this at all in the presentation, where you would explain, like, how if a new person goes into housing, like, how they would receive case management services that could be paid. You know, some of those agencies I know are funded with Part A funds as well, and then would receive a subsidy from, you know, perhaps like another organization, and how, I guess, all of that kind of fits together to have the person actually be housed in one of those, you know, agencies that are funded.
I mean, for the Ryan White part, that would be, I don't normally know how I would necessarily make that connection, because we don't have, like, a protocol that connects Ryan White services necessarily, but we know that most of there's an overlap, right? So, like, for instance, Catholic Charities, they're large. They have programs that are funded through Ryan White, but then they also have HOPWA programs only, you know? And so my, you know, assumption would be, of course, any person working with any of these housing programs would make referrals to appropriate services and resources that the client needs. Is that helpful, Maria? Like, would you like me to spell it out, or would a flow sheet be helpful? Or
no, I guess I was thinking like at Derek Silva, you know, they also have, you know, funding that they get from Part A, or just to list that as well. But I don't know if that's just like a separate thing, or you want to just focus on, you know, the HOPWA part of it. That's fine too. I was just having that idea.
Yeah, I think it's helpful to make that disclosure, but I wouldn't be able to speak to the actual funding amounts, right? And I can already sense that people would start asking me that, like, oh, how much is this and how much is HOPWA? And I'd be like, I don't know. So I can make the disclosure, though, that, of course, we work with DPH, we work with our Ryan White funded service partners. Okay.
And that's true. I don't think we're supposed to disclose it by agency either.
Okay. Good to know. Okay, I'll put something together and maybe I might follow up with you again, Maria, before just to double check. Okay. This is really helpful, y'all. And again, we apologize, but you know, we're kind of having to go through with the flexibility and the delays. But any other feedback? Any other thoughts? Mark?
Yeah, I don't want to push back too much on what Maria mentioned, because yeah, we're certainly not allocating funds or prioritizing agency, so we should always avoid that. But I am concerned, is like if you take the agency names out, that will be hard for people to know what you're talking about in a way. So I think I would push back on that a little bit, in particular since we're not funding we're basically not funding these agencies. MoCD is. So mm-hmm. I don't think there's an issue there. Like there might be an issue with like say dental services. Like we're funding three different ones, I think, two or three. And so that might be an issue if like you listed, like if you were doing a dental presentation and we're mentioning all three, and especially pros and cons. But I think for something that's not connected to our actual literal Ryan White Part A funding, and I don't think that those land in those. I think that's fine.
Yeah, and I was thinking I'd make a general disclosure. Yeah. I would make a general disclosure that several of these programs have additional Ryan White funding. We are service partners, but I wouldn't go into specifics because, right, it would bring a barrage of questions, I think, that I wouldn't be able to answer about specific funding amounts and prioritization. I don't want to get into that either, Mark. So I think just making a general disclosure that Ryan White funds are also used in supporting these households, I think that's fine in general.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good disclaimer too. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. TJ, did you have something you were going to say?
You covered it, so.
Okay, great. Thanks everyone so much for your feedback. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
And that's it, yeah. So I think on our agenda, we already went over the next meeting date. So then it's just adjournment.
I'll send an updated calendar invite to you all shortly. That's for September 3rd. Or actually, Kat probably will. I think she's the one who sent it out. Sorry, Kat, I'm not you.
No worries.
Awesome. Okay, everyone. Thanks so much. Have a good day. Bye.